Colossians. We'll be in part two. We already did part one last Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday, yeah. And so we've got a head start, but let's start today by tuning in. Yeah, tuning in to Colossians 1, verse 9. And if someone, welcome to the room. If someone would like to post, that would help all the rest of us. I have the verses here in front of me. Colossians 1, 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And those are three characteristics that you know from reading 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. He talks a lot about the knowledge, wisdom and knowledge of God and understanding. But if we compare that, what we see in there about the knowledge of His will with First Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the unto the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. God's will is that people come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of God's will is in all spiritual understanding, wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the only way he put getting saved first, the only way to come to the knowledge of the truth is to first get saved by the gospel, as was in the lesson before, and we'll get to it here too. But 2 Timothy 2:15, let's read it. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there can be shame involved, apparently. And we don't want to be ashamed. We want to study to be approved of God. So let's go on. In the Colossians context there, we're started in verse 9, Colossians 1, 9. We'll read that again and go on to verse 10. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord in all... that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Prayer is one main item that's often left out. I'm sure you've heard it too. When someone hears and believes the grace message, their prayer life drops off. Sometimes, often, put it that way. So, if you don't have a prayer list, pray anyway. Just pray. It helps to have it helps me. Some people may be different, wired differently, that a list or orderly way of doing it in a routine manner, it may become a crutch, a religious thing to them. I don't know. It helps me to know what to pray for before I pray or while I'm praying. But you can pray for the people on the list in these Bible studies, the right-hand column in the Pal Talk list. Pray for the people that are fellowshipping and studying with you. Paul even tells us some of the things for which to pray as grace believers. And I've listed five of them here. Let's go through them. First of all, pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, that's easy. That's praying back to God's word. It's what he just told us, isn't it? 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved? Pray for the salvation of those that we're not sure about. The Colossians had already been saved, though, as he's writing this. So he continued, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it said in Colossians. Well, that's one thing. Secondly, pray that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Therefore, being filled with the knowledge of his will is so that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Therefore, to come under the knowledge of the truth leads to a walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work. Okay, that was two. The third thing, not that this is an exhaustive list, but of five things I've listed, the third thing with that, every good work, and beyond that, that we'll be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Of course, Paul says nothing about doing works by which to be saved. That's never mentioned by Paul. That's not a way to be saved. That's a way to dilute the message so that you're not saved, if that's all you're trusting. We need to trust that Christ died for all our sins, all my sins, yours, and that he resurrected after that, 3 days later. He was buried and rose again. And it was for my sins. I'm cleared of my sins by him taking the punishment for them. Not just excusing them or tolerating them, forgiving them, but the forgiveness came from him dying for them. So in these statements, Paul is only talking to all saved individuals in Colossians here in this first chapter, not to the fallen nation of Israel. Let's go on to verse 11. We're not done with our list of five, but in verse 11, Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So there's some results mentioned there. Fourthly, following that path in prayer leads unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, as we just read. Do you want joyfulness? Do you want more patience? Paul preaches that they are related to praying for these qualities in others and in ourselves. And at this point, Paul continues with his greeting statement that he started with. We'll get to the fifth in the list in just a minute. But in the context in verse 12, he continues with that greeting statement from before, his parenthetical statements about prayer. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Meet, we still use that term today. I'm trying to think of it. I should have written it down when I was thinking of it earlier, but we do use the term. I was going to say the punishment meets. It has the sense of fits. It fits. The punishment meets the crime, but I don't think that's what I was thinking of, because that doesn't quite... But it does have that sense to it, of fit. He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath... He's transitioning from comments about prayer into a wonderful, a beautiful summary of the praiseworthiness of God. So, chapter number 5 in the list of things to pray for, giving thanks. That would be the 5th item in Paul's list of how grace believers have been enabled to pray that we weren't able to before, or didn't have the equipment, the Spirit within us before we're saved. Did not have the Spirit within us before we were saved. God's praiseworthiness. If we look at the second half of that Colossians 1:12, it starts, let's see, the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice it says, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And I want us to see why that cannot be talking about us. And those Colossae, in the town of Colossae, of them becoming partakers of Israel's inheritance. It can't be talking about that. It's talking about us, but not partakers of Israel's inheritance. Look at the phrase, he hath made us meet. Today that would seem to mean has made us meet to meet that special person, or has made us meet to meet the most valuable player, or meet the pastor, or whatever. But at the time it was translated, hath made us meet meant has enabled us or has qualified us, made us ready to be whatever, you know, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, saints in light. Paul refers to saints in light that possess an inheritance. Well, what inheritance is promised to saints in light? And is that the same inheritance promised to Israel's fathers? Israel's promise of an inheritance was only to be secured in the future. Their inheritance was to come way in the future sometime, the land. Israel's promise of an inheritance has a big if in it. It's conditional. It must be fulfilled before the inheritance comes to them. There are several things. One thing is Exodus 19:5. Another is they must recognize that prophet that the Lord sent like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18:15-19. And that comes in Zechariah 12:10 when they see him coming in the sky. But the if here in Exodus 19:5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and it's implied here, if thou wilt keep my covenant, then we get to the then. So those two things are conditions, obeying the voice of the Lord and keeping his covenant. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There's the kingdom. And that whole nation is going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. It doesn't say unto the Gentiles, does it? It doesn't say unto the body of Christ. Speak it unto the children of Israel. Well, that's much different. It's not the same as the inheritance to the people that Paul says already are saints in light. Israel is waiting to again be the light of the world. But Paul's gospel believers, like us and those in Colossae, are already saints in light. Paul says that the believers in his gospel of Christ, crucified for our sins, are already made to be the righteousness of God. Look in 2 Corinthians 5:21 regarding the righteousness of God. For he, that being God, He hath made him, talking about Christ, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, not us, we did sin. Christ knew no sin. Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Quite a trade there, isn't it? Loosely speaking, it's not a trade. But we get the benefit much more than God, it would seem to us at least. So, we are made, once we're saved, we're made the righteousness of God. Well, look in Acts 3:19 regarding Israel. When Israelites or Jews, when do they become righteous? When do they lose their sins? Get their sins remitted, yeah, but when do they get forgiven? It says that all Israel, that Israel must still repent, must convert, must endure to the end, that their sins may be blotted out. This is Acts 3:19-21. Their sins might be blotted, may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So he stays in heaven until the times of restitution of all things. Then he comes back. Then he sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. That's when their sin, Israel's sins, get blotted out. It's different. It's not the same. Israel's promise of inheritance was only to be secured in the future. Unlike Israel, we are not still waiting for our inheritance. Look at Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. Have obtained means a present possession of a promised inheritance. It is sealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go on after Ephesians 1:11. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, that's Paul talking in Acts. He was among the first Jews and Greeks that believed that Christ died for their sins, trusted in Christ, trusted he would give them, the gift of God, eternal life. In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard, talking to these in Colossae, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Excuse me, talking to those in Ephesus that he hadn't seen, but had been saved by hearing the gospel, apparently from those elders that went back from the Miletus visit in Acts 20. But he says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now, there's nothing iffy or uncertain or conditional about that. So, we are made meet, enabled, or qualified to be partakers of which inheritance? Which inheritance? Colossians 1:12 we're up to, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light are we believers who have been imputed the righteousness of God. Only we believers in Paul's gospel are already made to be the righteousness of God and already have our inheritance sealed to us by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a different inheritance to a different category, a category of people. We're not in the, not in Israel, not part of Israel's covenants. The promises were not made to our fathers, they were made to Israel's fathers, Jacob, Isaac, Abram. In the Bible, Paul never writes directly to Israel. We believers in Paul's gospel are not Israel. We're the body of Christ, a different entity for a different purpose, having been preached a different gospel by a different apostle, promising a different destination, heaven. Amen? So, let's go on to verse 13 in Colossians 1. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You, in the back of my mind, a lot of the time is that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that there is a God of this world. In between the third heaven, or the God of heaven's area, kicked out to the starry realm, you would say. Not the atmosphere that we know of, anyway, although he's prince of the power of the air, he's called also, but the angels, I mean, there's a battle going on. It's not now we're saved, we're already in heaven. Our spirit is in heaven, yes, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle. We wrestle against the powers of darkness. And we're not distant from God, even though he's in the third heaven. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, don't get discouraged. Believe the words on the pages of Scripture. They do prove the difference between Israel and the body of Christ. We in the body of Christ have already been delivered from the power of darkness. This is verse 13 again. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Sounds kind of like Galatians 1:4, doesn't it? Delivered us from this present evil world. Take heed, be warned. The Scripture repeats that it's not. We're not in heaven yet. This is not heaven here, even though we are saved and our spirits are in heaven, and we're guaranteed by the great guarantor, the Holy Spirit, that seals us, that we're going to be resurrected, redeemed, the day of redemption, changed into a spiritual body. We'll be with the Lord. We in the body of Christ have already been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son in heaven. Who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That kingdom is, and always has been, God's domain in heaven. It's the rulership, the king. He's the king and ruler over everything. Satan couldn't exist if God didn't allow him. He has determined his end, though. But God promised Israel that someday Messiah will bring his kingdom from heaven to reign on earth from Israel, from the land. Someone else is reigning now. Watch the progressive revelation as we look through some of these scriptures, and I'll just go ahead and read them. Let's see, 6 scriptures in a row here. And first, starting with the serpent, someone else is reigning. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And one more Old Testament, before we get to a couple New Testament quotes. This is from Daniel, the prophets. And in the days, Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Now to Acts 1:11, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And finally, Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That was prophecy. It was preached about. It was told about. It wasn't hidden. There was some information that was hidden in God, wisdom, secret wisdom, that was revealed not before it was revealed to Paul. It was revealed to Paul for us, and we can read it in Paul's epistles. All God's holy prophets prophesied that Christ would bring his kingdom from heaven to reign on earth from the land that God covenanted to Israel. That kingdom has not come yet to earth out of heaven. If it had, it would still be here, because it says it will last forever. It was at hand in Matthew through John. It was offered and rejected in Acts 1 through Acts 7. And at that point, Israel fell. Fell from being God's people, a peculiar treasure unto God, above all people. No, the ground is level. They're able to come to God the same way we can, though. Admitting they're a sinner. You think Jews want to admit that they're sinners? They think they're special because they're Jews. They have to admit, just like we do, but it's hard for them. Right after that, God set up a new pattern. It was his pattern, Christ's pattern, for saving people that under the law would have been unforgivable, like Saul of Tarsus. He was the first that was forgiven and granted eternal life. The first, as a sinner anyway. And then, like, we also, that's the way we come to God. We have to come as a sinner, needing a Savior, needing salvation, and recognizing that Jesus is the Savior. He died for my sins and rose again. The Bible tells us how, well, it tells us to follow Paul in the way that Paul followed Christ as a sinner. And we'll close with these words here in Colossians, verse 13. It tells us that we follow Paul in believing only on Christ, who have died for our sins. We are delivered from the power of darkness, and were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son.